Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Fun first hour. We thank Mike Somich of RacingDudes.com, also a contributor here at VSiN, and our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst and host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Coming up in 30 minutes, our buddy Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, will join us from Atlantic City. But we wanted to start off hour number two with some betting insights from our friends at BetMGM, because we know the futures markets are out there. People have been wagering, getting involved in this because it's the NFL and we all love football, even though it's 3 months away. So we do have some betting ticket percentages and handle percentages for the divisional bets, Michael. And let's start with the AFC East. We're going to do the AFC today. I know you and Stormy will do the NFC tomorrow. AFC East, right now, the Buffalo Bills are the favorites, plus 125 over at BetMGM. But the highest ticket percentage and the highest handle is on the New York Jets after acquiring Aaron Rodgers. The biggest liability, though, happens to be in Foxborough with the New England Patriots. When you see those numbers, what kind of jumps out to you?
Well, I mean, look, everything in this market is often driven by perception, correct? And who's had a better offseason than the Jets? I mean, just ask their head coach. He wants to take a week off and get to the offseason quicker. You know, what I don't think he understands is how hard it is to become a champion. Like, it's not easy work. It takes a little bit of time. It takes a lot of coordination and getting all three facets of your team to work together. So this doesn't really surprise me. I think people that understand the league, the sharp bettors, if you will, know that the Patriots were close last year. They have to get past this Buffalo hurdle. They can't beat Buffalo. Since the win game in Buffalo, when that wind was howling in that one direction, you know, they've not come close to beating, but Buffalo's controlled and dominated all of those games, so including a playoff game. So that's going to be the challenge. But the Patriots have improved. Their offensive line, Trent Brown's going to be critical. He's got to play left tackle well. They have Riley Reiff at right tackle. They've got some good skill players around Mac Jones. He's got to rise to the level, lower his interception percentage, really become more of a team leader. And defensively, I think they have improved tremendously, and it's a long season. And in football is a game, and I'm writing about this for the VSiN betting guide, which will be out at the end of this month, about the impact of coaching. I don't think we really talk enough about that. I heard Shaq and Charles Barkley on a show on their NBA show talk about Shaq dismisses coaching. It's all about talent. Barkley understands it's talent, but talent needs to be coached. And I think that's more of what the NFL is. It's really about coaching, adjustments, handling it. You know, for example, you know, Leslie Frazier was the defensive coordinator. He called the defense in Buffalo, but Sean McDermott wants to call the defense now. Leslie Frazier left, which gives Sean the opportunity to do that. So that's going to take a lot on Sean McDermott to handle the head coaching, handle the role, handle all the critical calls in the game, and then manage the full game. So coaching matters.
So with that said, are you going to fade or follow this New York Jets love in the betting market with the highest ticket percentage and the highest handle?
I would fade that. And here's why. I think they are the hunted. You know, they're not sneaking up on anyone, right? They've got really a good team. Are they good in the offensive line? I don't know about that. Now, look, Becton can be a really good left tackle. Nobody can run block to the level that he can, but he's so inconsistent. He's not in great shape, and he's the least of players that needs to have time off. This guy needs to be in there every day working. So, you know, when you take the path of least resistance for a guy like Becton, it affects your team. I just think, to me, could they make the playoffs? I don't think there's a doubt. Can they beat Buffalo? I'm not sure about that. I'm really not. You know, I think Rodgers is still a good player, but I think there's more than just Rodgers coming in, all of a sudden we turn it on. I've never been a part of that. Well, we've got Rodgers. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine.
Well, we're going to find out week one, Monday Night Football, Jets hosting the Buffalo Bills. That's going to be a nice little dandy to wrap up the opening week of the NFL regular season. Let's move on to the AFC North and our game of fade or follow. The favorite, Cincinnati Bengals, plus 120. They've won the division back-to-back seasons. Highest ticket percentage, though, the Pittsburgh Steelers with 33.6% of the tickets. Highest handles, the Bengals' biggest liability is the Steelers. So I don't know if it's the Steeler Nation, Steel Curtain out there making those wagers at BetMGM, but Pittsburgh getting a little bit of love, at least from a ticket standpoint, over at BetMGM.
Well, I mean, look, they won more games than the Cleveland Browns did last year with the rookie quarterback and an offensive line that was not very good. Now, they've improved this offensive line. Defensively, they've improved. And we'll see if Joey Porter Jr. can give them the corner that they really need. But they have improved defensively. They get T.J. Watt back to be healthy all season. That certainly helps. You know, they've got great skill. Even though they traded Claypool, you know, they still have very good skill. They get Allen Robinson to come in there to go along with Pickens, to go along with John. I mean, they're really a good team. And if Pickett manages the game correctly and has a good second season, he doesn't have to be great. I mean, they can really improve. To me, the one team that I look at that should be better, and no one's betting them, is the Browns. I mean, the Browns are a good team. They've got good skill players. They're better on defense this year. They'll be better coached on defense this year. You know, they've got the great Nick Chubb. Watson's can't be any worse than he was last year, and he was a disaster. Can they win close games? That remains to be seen. Are they going to stay on this analytical behavior? I don't know. But to me, I think if they get off to a fast start and they build some confidence, they could be one of those teams that goes from last to first.
And our producer, Elliot Bowman, telling us 15% of the handle is on the Cleveland Browns there. So there is some interest out there in Cleveland. But do you have the stones to fade the Cincinnati Bengals? Because they look like a hell of a team.
Yeah, I do have the stuff because I worry about them defensively. They lost a lot of key players, especially in their secondary defensively. And they're a slow, slow starting team. You know, they have not done much this offseason. They have typically, they were 5-4 the last two seasons after 9 games, and they start slow. Their second half of the season, they've been very good, right? After they lost to Cleveland this year, they had the bye, and then they didn't lose again until Kansas City. So they are a second-half team. But if they get behind in that first half, I would fade them. I think, to me, that's what worries me the most. Can they? I love Burrow. I love that, but I think defensively, all the guys that they've lost, I think this is going to be a little bit of a growing problem as they get into the season.
Well, Lou Anarumo is going to have to be hard at work to get that thing going, and we know he is one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, so if anybody can make it work, it definitely is him. The AFC South, right now the favorite, minus 160, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Highest ticker percentage is Jacksonville. Highest handle is Jacksonville, but the biggest liability is Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. Will
Why
you
not?
Fade or follow the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm going to fade them, because I think, to me, everybody has them. It's a little bit what Michael Malone said at his press conference. A lot of noise on how good Jacksonville's going to be. Let's just revisit it for a moment, please. You know, they're getting blown out by the Chargers, you know, and they miraculously make a great comeback in that game. You know, the Kansas City game, they played them twice. They never really had control of the game, nor could get control of the game. Are they going to be good enough on defense, Femi? I think that's the question mark. Look, the one thing about Vrabel's team is they'll play hard. They know who they are. They're really a good team defensively. This is not a team that is not good defensively. And I think they'll be able to compete with their mental toughness. I don't think they're overly talented at the skill position. But I think they are a problem. And look, they had Joshua Dobbs playing quarterback last year in the last game, a playoff-type game. And they had every chance to win that game against Jacksonville. And I just think if they had Tannehill in that game, it might have been different. So for me, I like the idea that Tennessee has got a lot of liability on them because I could see it. Because, again, go back to the Barkley-Shaq conversation, coaching matters.
Coaching does matter, and Titans are also getting back Harold Landry, who missed all of last season. He was out with an injury. That's another dynamic pass rusher that you can add to that front that already has Jeffrey Simmons, one of the best defensive tackles as well. I've made one bet all offseason in the NFL. It's not as active as we were last offseason. Michael, I've only made one bet. Check the slips, buddy. Check the slips.
We've seen you at the window betting MVP for Justin Fields. So what other bet did you make besides the Fields bet?
My one bet this NFL offseason is Jacksonville under 10.5 wins. I think that this is like a 9, maybe 10-win team at their tops. I agree with you. The defense is a little bit weaker. And I think we just assume that these young teams are going to take that next step. The offensive line, those tackles have issues as well. And we already know the suspension there for Cam Robinson. They lost Juwan Taylor to the Kansas City Chiefs. There's some things in Jacksonville that I don't think are all the way buttoned up to where this is like an 11, 12-win team that people are thinking on the surface. I think Jacksonville is going to probably underperform compared to their expectations, but also still maybe make the playoffs as like a 9-8. I think 9 wins honestly wins that division. in the AFC South. I don't see it being a juggernaut type of division. Last division that we got to get to, AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs. They are the creme de la creme in the NFL. They're the favorites, minus 160 to repeat as champions. Highest ticket percentage, highest handle, and the biggest liability in the West. Will you fade or follow Reed and Mahomes in Arrowhead?
I mean, I'm going to follow this because partly because I think that when you look at this, right, you really see that you know, they have the best quarterback, they have a great coach, and they have an appetite to want to keep improving. I don't think they'll have that hangover, Super Bowl hangover. Now, will they be able to win, you know, 14 games? Maybe not. You know, they struggled. They stubbed their toe early in the year. They lose a game in Indianapolis. But to me, I think they're still the most consistent team. I think the Chargers love affair is interesting to me because, you know, the Chargers and the Raiders, there's a two-game difference. I'm not sure all those teams, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos, shouldn't be in the same spot.
Well, it's the NFL offseason, so of course there's a Chargers love affair. I mean, they're the offseason champions every year, man. Yeah. Every year we talk ourselves into Chargers.
They can't stop the run, but it's okay. It's okay. They're going to, you know, look at that handle. I mean, it's unbelievable how the narrative just keeps continuing.
They'll figure it out. You know, even though their head coach is a defensive head coach and they're just leaking oil all over the place. I think the Chargers, they're an interesting team, but this is Kansas City's division. Until proven otherwise, I doubted Mahomes and the Chiefs last year. I've learned from my mistakes. We're not doing that again. Chiefs until I see otherwise in the AFC West. On the other side, we'll see if one of these AFC West teams could bring on a new running back. Dalvin Cook is on the open market. We'll try to find a home for him next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Coming up in 15 minutes, our buddy Thomas Gable of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata will join us to talk all things NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final as well, and some Belmont as well. Thomas loves the ponies, so we'll talk the Belmont Stakes with our buddy TG. But, Michael, we have some other news and notes that we wanted to get to in the National Football League. It is official, and I guess in another episode of Michael Lombardi Should Become an NFL Insider, you've been talking about this all offseason long, Dalvin Cook and the separation with him and the Minnesota Vikings coming to a head. There have been trades that talk that was going on, nobody really wanted to go ahead and give up any sort of compensation for Cook. So now Cook has officially been released by Minnesota here. Where do you think is the best destination for Dalvin Cook? And what does this mean for the Vikings going forward?
Well, I mean, look, the Vikings re-signed Madison to a very cheap contract. And if you've watched Minnesota tape over the years, Madison has always given them a spark and it looked like at times he's given you a double take. Is that Cook in the game or who is in the game? You know, he looks similar to him. So, but they needed to lower their cap. I mean, Minnesota, the Rams, and Tampa Bay are the three teams trying to get their cap in order. I mean, they're trying to do things for the 24 season. Does that mean they're tanking? No, but that means that they're willing to get rid of players that they feel like will be part of the 24 team that carry too much with them. And so they're trying to win the cap today to have a better cap tomorrow. This Kirk Cousins thing has made them drive into a deep, deep hole. So, you know, they had to let Cook go. To me, I don't know why a team wouldn't have traded for Cook instead of having to deal with him in the open market. I understand he's going to make $10.4 million, but once you have a player, it's a lot easier to deal with them on a cap thing, especially since you could have given up a seventh if to get him. It's a little bit like the Allen Robinson thing. You know, it didn't cost you anything to get him. You could flip seventh-round picks with Minnesota or whatever you could do. Like a team, for me, Like Washington, they're not even involved in this. Now, Washington has ownership problems, right? We get that. The Payne's contract, their defensive tackle, De'Ron Payne, they backloaded all his signing bonus into September so that the new owner will pay for him, because that's they're restricted in that area. And they signed a bunch of middle-level free agents because they don't want to spend any money because the new owner is coming in. But that team, to me, needs an elite running back. And Cook is an elite running back. I think the Cowboys with Pollard and Cook could be dynamic, could be dynamic. And, you know, I think Miami, now they drafted one, they've signed other backs, Morissette, they have him in there. But he grew up in Miami. He's a really good player. He would fit them. Will they run him enough? I don't know. You know, last year he had, 264 carries, mm-hmm. you know, and he averaged almost 4.1 a carry. This is a guy that can get the ball, can carry the load, and can really make an offense more effective because he is a weapon out of the backfield. He can make plays in the passing game, and he's dynamic in that area.
Last season, Dalvin Cook, more than 1,100 rushing yards. He had 8 touchdowns. But you tossed out the E word in describing Dalvin Cook. You said elite. That's high praise. And for a guy who's elite, it's question. Why do you think nobody wanted to trade for him if that's the case? What are the teams not seeing that you're seeing?
Well, I mean, I think everybody sees him as an elite player. They just don't see that salary. Nobody wants to pay a running back. I mean, Saquon Barkley thinks he's going to get this huge deal, and nobody wants to sign a running back. Nobody wants to pay a back. You know, as much as I say, look, you got to pay a weapon, you know, the trend is not to. McCaffrey making $16 million plus is kind of an outlier, right? Like, Cook can line up in the backfield. He can line up at receiver. You know, his catch percentage is slightly below 70. It should be higher. He averages, 7.2 yards a catch? It should be at 9. See, what happens is when you don't get enough production in the passing game out of the running back, all of a sudden he becomes some, well, we can get that out of Madison, or we can get the same similar production out of Madison. He's a dynamic player. But I think, to me, you know, you got to understand how to use the back in the passing game most effectively. And one thing they do know in Dallas with Pollard knows his role. Now, Pollard's coming off an injury. And I think Cook certainly would help them. Now, it depends on the contract. What's Cook looking for? You know, Miami has gone all in, right? Miami is the team that doesn't care about the 24 cap. They did it with Ramsey. You know, they outbid everybody to get Vic Fangio on as a defense coordinator. You know, a lot of people thought he was going to go to Carolina. He didn't. Because Miami stepped up and paid. Philadelphia would have paid too, but they didn't lose their coach at that time. So, you know, Miami does make sense. For me, Washington makes the most sense because they need that player. They need that elusive player that can break tackles, that can make big chunks, especially considering they're going to a pure West Coast offense. They have a rookie quarterback. They need somebody to turn around and hand the ball off to him that can make plays on his own. Now you say, well, they have Gibson and they have, you know, Robinson. Those are good players. They're not elite players.
So the cool thing is that at DraftKings, we can actually bet on where Dalvin Cook will be playing next season. And the favorite is the team that you've brought up a couple times, the Miami Dolphins at +125. The Denver Broncos are at +450. Javonte Williams is coming off of the ACL injury. We'll see where he's at once we get to the training camp later on this summer. After that, you have the Jets and the Bills at 9-1, the Cowboys 10-1, the Bears 13-1. How would he fit in with Denver at +450 with the Broncos? Do you think that's something that would be a nice match made in heaven in Sean Payton's offense?
Well, I mean, look, Sean already knows how to use him, right? But Sean signed Sammy Perrine to play that role, the Kamara role. So he's already got Sammy Perrine in that role. What does he tell Sammy Perrine if he brings Cook in? You know, he says, well, Williams isn't healthy, so we're going to run you. And I mean, Perrine wants to be the third down runner. He wants to be the third down. He wants to be the 11 back. Forget about third down. Forget about downs. Just talk about personnel groupings. He wants to be the 11 back. And you've already promised him the 11 back. Now you're going to bring Cook in to do that. I mean, Cook's better than Perrine. I don't dispute that. But you've already made that move. And one thing we know about Sean Payton, he's had Kamara. He gets above 9 yards an average on his running back in his passing game. So he knows how to use these guys as weapons. But to me, it's a lot of cap space to put into, especially when you've got Williams. You've already signed Perrine. You know, where are we going with that? I think that becomes a little bit difficult.
Well, Denver's already been hard at work earlier this week because they signed a pass rusher from the Kansas City Chiefs, Frank Clark, the Super Bowl champion pass rusher, a 1-year deal. $5.5 million fully guaranteed, worth up to a maximum of $7.5 million because of the incentives. Does Frank Clark have any gas left in the tank, and how does he kind of fit into this Broncos defense?
Well, I mean, he's going to be the nickel rusher. He and Randy Gregory. Gregory on one side, Clark on the other side. And, you know, if they can get a lead and get ahead of people, they're going to have two dynamic guys coming off the edge. Clark isn't as the same as he was when he played in Seattle or early years in Kansas City, but he's still effective. He still can do some things. You know, I think it's a really good contract to pay him only $5 million, especially considering what he was going to take. This is a classic example of a guy who doesn't want to take less money from his current team, but is more than willing to take less money from a rival. And that's what I think happened here. But look, you're going to have to get ahead. You got to get the lead. Gregory can be dynamic. Can he stay healthy? That remains to be seen. And I think ultimately Clark will give them some juice, particularly playing in Denver with crowd noise, all that. That helps.
Can you explain that dynamic? The guy that doesn't want to take less from his current team but will take less from a rival? Like, what goes into that?
I mean, it's the locker room, right? It's a, you know, it's an alpha locker room. You know, you look less of a person when you go in there and you took less money, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there and now you have to be around all your peers and they all know you took less money, you know, and so that becomes a hard thing. Some players will do it. You know, some players will do it. They say, hey, look, I understand my role. I'm towards the end of my career. I just want to play here. I don't want to go anywhere else. But those are the anomaly. You know, they don't want to take less money from their team.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, it's the dynamic of the NFL, and we always hear that it is a business. We love the games and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's a bottom-line business. And for Frank Clark, now going over to the Denver Broncos, where he'll now get to face the Kansas City Chiefs, his old buddies, two times a season, maybe even three. Who knows? Maybe Denver makes the playoffs, and they have to play Kansas City in the postseason here. Is there a veteran that's out there on the market? We've talked about Hopkins. We've talked about Dalvin Cook. But there's other guys. You know, Jadeveon Clowney is out there. Are there any veteran guys that are out there that you think can also make nice impacts on teams here late in this offseason?
A lot of it is that. Well, look, I think Kareem Hunt. I mean, here's the question you got to ask. Do you want to sign Kareem Hunt at whatever number he is, or do you want to sign Dalvin Cook? They kind of both do the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cook is better than Hunt. But Hunt can be dynamic, right? So if you don't get Cook, do you want Hunt? Or what's going on with Hunt? Like, he hasn't been anywhere. Like, he was a good 1-2 punch for Cleveland. And he still has gas left in his tank. But a lot of this is going to come down to the contract. And no one wants to do a deal today because there is no money on the street right now.
Well, it always comes back to the money, the NFL. It always does.
Always about the green stuff, Femi.
That's what we love. And we'll try to find some green stuff later on this evening. As coming up next, we'll talk to our buddy Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Morgan.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. It's a Saturday morning here on the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here. We've got a couple more segments. And to wrap up our fantastic guests that we've had on this show today, we bring in our buddy Thomas Gable, the race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, we appreciate the time as always this morning here. And we'll start with the NBA Finals. Last night, Denver takes a 3-1 series lead, which I'm imagining was a pretty good result for you guys after the betting market was heavily pounding Miami right up to tip-off.
Yeah, it actually was. We made out pretty well there because, again, it was one of those games where Miami taking money on the spread. People were taking the alternate lines with Miami. So, you know, it worked out pretty well for us. Now, obviously, the Nuggets have a chance to close things out there at home. So game ended up closing Denver laying 3. Total stayed under 211.5. Was where that closed at. And now you're seeing for the next game here, even lower total now. Right now, 208.5. And, of course, the Nuggets, 9-point favorites for game 5 there. So Denver, obviously, I think they're just focused on closing this out. I don't think they want to really play around at all. And, you know, they're just going to be focused on this game and trying to win their first title. But they've looked great. This is the team that I think that at least I thought we were going to see throughout the playoffs. They have so many people who can step up. Last night it was Gordon. And then, of course, you have one of the best 1-2 punches in the league with Jokic and Murray.
TG, you know, I guess I keep believing or not believing in Denver's defense because I keep thinking that there'll be an offensive explosion. But you have to credit Denver's defense more than anything for keeping this total dwindling down because Denver hasn't allowed Miami to score over 100 points in any of this game. And Miami, when they shoot 8 for 25 last night from the three-point, they have no chance to win the game. So, I mean, do you see this under continue to go down?
Yeah, I think we do, unless, again, we get one of these Miami games, to your point, where suddenly they catch fire from three again. Now, it's happened throughout the playoffs this year, so it certainly could, but we're kind of seeing Miami shoot the way that they did in the regular season. So, you know, I'm not surprised that the market is continuing to push these totals down with Miami and the way that they have been shooting in this series. It's not the way that the Heat necessarily played there against Boston at times. I think you do have to credit Denver's defense. I absolutely think you need to. But this Miami Heat team, too, is also, I think, worn down at this point. They've been in some battle. That seven-game series against Boston, I think, took a lot out of them. And, I thought that by this point we'd see Tyler Herro back for them. He hasn't returned. So it's been the same group of guys. And, yeah, maybe you don't want to mess with the chemistry that they've had with this playoff run. But they're just they look tired, and offensively they seem to really be struggling outside of Adebayo and Butler getting their points. Just the other guys who have stepped up in previous series just aren't at that same level.
Yeah, I think we're at the point now with Miami. If you like the Heat in any of these games coming up here, you got to maybe parlay that with the over, because that's the only way it seems like Miami can save with these games if they shoot well. And then if they shoot well, maybe the game goes ahead and goes over the total. We're hanging out with Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata. TG, let's transition over to the Stanley Cup Final. Right now, the Florida Panthers -115. Tonight, VGK -105. So pretty much a coin flip for game number four. Do you think that we're coming back to Vegas all square at two, or will VGK take that commanding 3-1 series lead?
You know, I thought Vegas had this series pretty much in hand, as I think a lot of people. Now, the Panthers, we've seen their resilience before. If you remember, they came back against what was considered the best team in hockey in Boston in the first round of the playoffs. So you can't count the Panthers out in any series. But I just believe this Knights team is too strong for them. Now, the Knights have been taking some early money here for tonight's game. So line now down, as you said, Panthers down to 115 favorites. So pretty much almost a pick. But we will we'll see how this goes for tonight. I think it's probably going to be a closer game like we saw there in game three, went into overtime. Panthers come back at the late goal and then win it in overtime. So maybe that sparked something for them. Obviously, the goaltending got better there after what we saw in Vegas for the first two games. But I would not be surprised in the least if the Knights take this and head home to try to win the cup there in your town.
I mean, they're 2 minutes away, TG, from going up 3-0, and you know, they just can't quite get that done. And how do you feel like that will manifest itself into – I mean, does you think – because Florida is such a resilient team and they have come back, I mean, you got to feel like that ability to survive that gives them a kind of a second spurt to maybe win tonight.
Well, we saw the Panthers playing a lot more under control in game three than we did in game one and two. You know, tempers were flaring there for them. They kind of lost their composure in both games in Vegas. Whether coming home kind of did something, maybe the break a little bit, but It'll be interesting to see how they come out here in the first period tonight, and whether Panthers can kind of take control of the game from the start. But I just think overall this Knights team is a lot stronger than Florida. And again, I think it goes back and to Vegas, and Vegas has a chance to close it out on home ice.
TG, of course, sharp with the basketball, sharp with the hockey, and especially sharp with the horses. The Belmont Stakes, the third leg of the Triple Crown later on this afternoon over at Belmont Park here. Who do you like in this race? Kind of, how are you kind of handicapping this one, and who have some of the sharper horse handicappers that your guys' book been looking at here?
Well, it's a much better betting race than we've had, at least for the Preakness. We have some really good horses there at the top, highlighted by Forte, obviously. Forte was the favorite going into the Derby, got scratched. Angel of Empire ended up going off as the favorite. So you have both of those horses. Forte returning here. Forte hasn't run since the Florida Derby on April 1st. And now the trainer, Todd Pletcher, he's had great success here at Belmont. He's won the race four times. Forte will probably go off the favorite here. I personally like Tapitrice, the two horse. The price should get better. It actually has gotten better with 6-1 morning line this morning. Another Todd Pletcher horse there. And I think the distance, Tapitrice is kind of a weird horse in some ways, but I think just the distance here favors him. So I'm going with Tapitrice to win. Tapitrice, the one horse, will be the early speed, I think, along with National Treasure, the Preakness winner. They'll be the pace setters. Tapitrice 16-1 on the morning line. This is a horse, I think, who deserves a look. It's gotten better with each race, may have his best yet to come, but I think at least worth a look, depending on the price as we get closer to post. But yeah, I'm going Tapitrice, the two horse. Forte, as long as the workouts have looked good from everything that I've seen. So I'm going to be doing it exactly there with the 2 and 6, boxing that and doing a win bet on Tapitrice, the two horse.
And what's the feeling? I mean, your book is always filled with a lot of racing experts, TG. What is the one sleeper horse everybody keeps mentioning?
Arcangelo is getting some love here amongst bettors. Won the Peter Pan this year. I don't know. Will the added distance here in this race, mile and a half, will that be an issue? We'll see. But Arcangelo, another horse who has shown improvement, has been lightly raced. And Javier Castellano will be on board. Of course, was the winning jockey in the Derby on Mage this year. So Arcangelo is getting some love. National Treasure, obviously, with Baffert as the trainer, winning the Preakness, also will be taking some money. But I just think people are excited to finally see Forte run.
Yeah, after the going off as the favorite at the Kentucky Derby, unfortunately having to scratch at Churchill Downs, now we'll see what Forte is made of. Mile and a half coming up later on this afternoon at Belmont Park. He is Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata. TG, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, TG. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. On the other side, we'll wrap up the show and try to figure out why the Jets aren't practicing this week. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points you can use towards dining, shows, and hotels at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action. with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi hanging out here on this Saturday morning. It's been a fun show. Thank you to all three of our guests, Mike Somich, Jonathan Von Tobel, and the one and only Thomas Gable of the race book, the sports book.
Femi, before we get back into football and we discuss the great Jets deciding they don't need any more work, what's your feel for tonight with the Vegas Knights? You think they can get the game, win this game?
I talked about this with JVT last Sunday. It feels like there's this weird, like there's a parallel with the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final, and the two teams happy to be from South Florida. Like, both of them 8 seeds, both in the Eastern Conference, and I think that for both of them, the clock is kind of striking midnight. They're on this Cinderella run. I do believe VGK gets it done tonight. I think we go back to Vegas 3-1 with the Golden Knights on the precipice of winning the Stanley Cup Final. And it's not to say that Florida has been doing just smoke and mirrors or anything like that. Like, I'm no hockey expert by any means. I've never pretended to be one. But I just think that the large sample size still has to matter when it ultimately comes to winning a title. And Vegas has been that title-winning kind of team all season long, being the one seed in the Western Conference, whereas Florida, last year they were a title-winning team, kind of similar to the Miami Heat. This season had a rough regular season, just barely got into the playoffs. They've gone on a great run, but I don't think they have enough to go ahead and beat VGK. I think the Vegas Golden Knights take that commanding lead.
Is there any bet that you like tonight? I mean, do you like the puck line? Do you like?
I wouldn't mess around.
Over total?
I wouldn't mess around. I just play the money line, -105. I wouldn't mess around with it. Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. And you know what? Maybe I'll do that just to have a little fun sweat this evening because I have no plans.
You're already down there. They know you because you have many Justin Fields tickets all over. They know you at Circa. I mean, if you're in the back of the line at Circa, they say, "Oh, there's that Justin Fields guy. Get him up here right away." Yeah.
There's been no Fields money. There was
no Tua money last year. But I'm sure you probably have a Tua ticket this year.
How could I? I mean, the guy was talking about retirement earlier this offseason. Like, no, we're not. He's my guy. We're hoping that he stays healthy because I like to watch him play. But no long-term investments in my guy Tua. We're just going to go game to game with the Miami Dolphins. That's what we'll do. And maybe we'll go game to game when they take on the New York Jets. Speaking of the Jets, how about that? Robert Saleh, their head coach. We've hinted at this earlier this show. We got to talk about it. The Jets have canceled their mandatory minicamp because, in their words, they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. They're going to start training camp earlier, so they wanted to give the guys some extra rest before the grind really started coming up next month. This, on the surface, to me, sounds crazy. Like, I don't think minicamp is some intense training camp sort of scenario to where you need just a break from those 3 days. But you can get a lot done in those 3 days, can't you, Michael?
Well, it's the 3 days where the whole team's there, right?
Yeah.
It's the 3 days where it's mandatory. You finally have your whole team there, so you can work your whole team. You could set the tempo for what you're trying to build moving forward with your entire team. The OTA days, to me, if he canceled 2 or 3 OTA days, I probably wouldn't have said anything. Mm-hmm. But minicamp allows you to do more. You have more time with the players. You have more time for installments. You have more time for teaching. You have more time for fun. You have more time for everything. You don't want to give that up. Maybe you give up a half a day of that, but you want to instill the work ethic. You want to instill the challenge. Look, the reason Brady is so great and the reason he won 7 Super Bowls is because he has competitive stamina. And competitive stamina is not something that you have innately in your body. You have to learn to compete. Most people that win or most people that have success, they tend to slow down. It's okay. We're all right. You know, it's all good. Everything will be taken care of. When great teams drive further, and I think, to me, this is a wrong messaging. This is like, okay, we're really good. If he would have canceled OTA days, I would have not said anything. But to me, this is really not what you should do as a leader. This is not what you should do as someone who's trying to instill a culture of winning. Remember, they have only been to 13 playoff seasons since the 68 Super Bowl win. They haven't made the playoffs since 2010. I know Rodgers has, but a lot of guys don't understand what it takes to become a champion. That's what you use minicamp for.
Yeah, and I always go back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from 2020 in that season, the challenges facing that team. There was the COVID year. They weren't really allowed to be around each other until these like designated times. And I know Brady was trying to throw with his guys on like a separate field. There was the helicopter that was seeing them down. Hey, Tom Brady's like meeting with his guys, even though that's against the health policies and all that stuff. And like Tampa and what they were doing that offseason, they needed all that time, and they still got off to a little bit of a slow start. It wasn't until December when they kind of turned things around and kicked it into high gear after going 7-5, ultimately running the table and winning the Super Bowl. When you're putting new pieces together, time on task is so important. It's just for them to kind of scoff at this and be like, oh, well, we want the extra rest to get our guys ready for training camp. It feels very misguided.
Well, I mean, there's guys you got to give rest to. I get that. I completely understand that. I mean, look, the approach that Zach Taylor takes with his Cincinnati Bengals is, look, we're going to gradually build. And it's worked for two seasons. He's been 5-4, and he's turned his team around. I get that approach, right? Mm-hmm. I get that. However, this approach is there's been no history of success. There hasn't been. How does he even know his team's tired? Like, I get that they play in the Hall of Fame game, but look, who plays in the Hall of Fame game? Aaron Rodgers is going to have a baseball hat on. Like, he's not playing. None of their players are playing. What's not fair to the young players who are going to play in that game is to get them ready. Use minicamp to get them ready to play in that game. Get them ready. Learn what to do. It's teaching. It's time. It's investment. And if you start to cut corners now, how does that work? I think, to me, it's a dangerous precedent that he set. And I think it sends a message that he doesn't get it. I've said this all along. You know, when he made the announcement about that he's one of six or seven teams, like, this guy doesn't get what it takes to be a champion. He just doesn't get it.
Yeah, and it's building a culture of cutting corners there. Now, what do you make of this? Because this is from our producer, Elliot Bowman. He texted me this could be also playing a factor in this as well, is that Quinnen Williams obviously wants his contract. And potentially, they don't want to make this a big story if Quinnen were to be a hold in or so at training camp. Or maybe he doesn't even show up at all and just takes the fines. Like, do you think anything with Quinnen Williams would factor into why they're just not
this
having
this? This is about Saleh not understanding what it takes to be a champion. Don't put the Quinnen Williams in here. Causation versus correlation. That has no correlation to the cause. This is about he thinks somebody in that building, whether it's an analytical person, whether it's somebody who's never been part of a team, you know, has decided we need to rest. You know, okay, yeah, you do need to rest, but we haven't done anything yet. We've achieved nothing. Like, young players who are not in shape, most people that I talk to in the league, when I talk about their rookie class, the first thing they say, nobody talks about Buzz Lightyear's being ahead. Everybody complains of how out of shape the rookies are and how far they're behind in terms of their knowledge, understanding, because the Saturday game is completely different than the Sunday game. Now, fans don't see it that way, but in the reality, it is. And to catch a Saturday player up to Sunday, it requires a lot of time. So those young players are going to play in that Hall of Fame game or are going to play in the first preseason game when you got to get them up to speed. An offensive lineman, which is the most critical area for this Jet team, they need time and reps. And when you take that away, what are we doing? Do you understand what it takes? It's like, you know, it's no different than training great thoroughbreds. You've got to understand how to do it. You know, they don't cut a corner. They don't take a training session off. They work to get ready for maximum performance.
Yeah, and you would think the Jets would be taking advantage of all the opportunities that they have, because the start of that schedule, man, it's a gauntlet, and it could start off pretty rocky for the New York Jets if they're not clicking on all cylinders early on. And with a new quarterback trying to implement that, and I get that Rodgers has history with Nathaniel Hackett. He knows the offense, but he's also got to get familiar with the players as well. And this is time that they could have used to familiarize themselves with each other and try to make sure that they start clicking on all cylinders, because the season starts home Buffalo, at Dallas, home New England, home Kansas City, at Denver, home Philly. That's not easy.
If you don't play well to start, I mean, like, to me, if I were Saleh, I would be worried about we got to start. We cannot fall behind. We can't, like, every game, and I know September you get your foot, the toe in the water, but we have to build something bigger as we get, because the second half of the season, you know, we got the Falcons, the Texans, you know, and then we got the Commanders, the Browns. I mean, you know, we got a chance. We should be good there, but we want to build this up. But we can't start out 0-3 or 1-4 or 1-5. That's hard to overcome. And then if we have injuries, other thing is too, is all this rest. Nobody's proven that it doesn't affect injuries.
No, they have not. And the New York media, luckily, is pretty patient if they were to start slow. So I think everything should
work
out pretty
well. Oh, yeah, that's right. They would be. No
New
problem.
York Jets. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to Elliot Bowman, our producer. We will see you guys tomorrow. Coming up next is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.